So let's move on now. We're going to talk about ovarian cancer and again try to weave these themes through the evening. In a second, Kate is going to go through some of the data that's really shaping the way these patients are being taken care of. But one kind of question that really crosses these tumor lines, Katie, is what kind of mutation testing is going to be done? And there's been a lot of debate at the SGO meeting every year. You hear this debated about what the strategy is. The most common answer given in the audience is to start out with germline, but then do somatic, for example, NGS, with the idea that they kind of need both. So if they're germline negative, they need somatic. Is that the way you think this one through, Katie?
I think that's certainly the most accurate, or there's tests right now that are doing them simultaneously with circulating tumor DNA, you know, and not even a tissue screen. So there's lots of technologies out there. This one certainly covers all of our bases. So if you do, and I mentioned this, if you test for the germline, which importantly you need to do, not only because it's predictive for response to PARP inhibition and prognostic for our patients, but also it allows you to do cascade testing for first and second degree relatives and ideally prevent them from ever becoming my patient, which is my goal. I would love to not see these women in the future with ovarian cancer. So that's the importance of the germline. And then, of course, somatic testing, and we can talk about this more, at least in ovarian cancer, there's really no reason to think that a somatic mutation in BRCA1 or 2 responds differently, at least in the recurrent setting. They've been very consistent with germline mutations. And so you want to identify that 7% of patients because it does open up a very effective therapy to them, especially in the frontline following chemotherapy. This is an expensive way to do things. There are other suggestive alternatives. People want to start with somatic and reflex to germline. You're going to miss about 5% of your germlines doing that. And so I think as a society, we have to figure out if that's acceptable to miss the opportunity to prevent basically lethal cancers in women in 5% of the time. So I think it's still up in the air. But I'm glad we're talking about it because the U.S. is really behind where we should be in testing women. And so this conversation that's happening as a result of SOLO-1, I think, is bringing our patients awareness, and they're coming in demanding this test finally. And so I think we're going to get a lot more women tested and taken care of.
Yeah, I was really shocked when I got out of the airplane in Honolulu and went down. There was this huge, you know, promotional sign saying women aren't being tested, which shocked me. Is that really true?
That's absolutely
ovarian cancer, women are not getting tested.
It's absolutely true.
That's really amazing to me. Mike, just sort of a side question to you that we started to hear about. I've heard about this from Memorial. I don't know whether other places. It's a very practical issue of informed consent to the patients that are going to get BRCA testing who has no family history, for example, where you're really doing it for therapeutic purposes. And theoretically, you're supposed to send these patients to a genetic counselor, but I mean, you're doing a therapeutic marker also. What do you think about the idea? And again, Memorial's tried this of using sort of a video. They give the patient an iPad in the waiting room and they watch a genetic counselor kind of go through the stuff. And then if they're positive, they get referred. Do you do anything like that? What do you think about that kind of concept?
I think it's reasonable because I think the idea is that you just have to inform patients that what they're getting themselves into for the testing. I can tell you, I wanted to share in pancreatic cancer that there's good data that 40% of pancreatic cancer patients who are known to harbor germline BRCA1, BRCA2 mutations have absolutely no family history. So the NCCN guidelines actually were updated last year to say that all pancreatic cancer patients should at the very least be considered, I would argue maybe even taking it a step further and testing everybody for germline for pancreatic cancer mutations. But the idea of providing them informed consent, I think doing it through a video, actually at Georgetown we have one of our genetic counselor groups that have established a phone-based consent.
Yeah, that makes sense too.
So there are different ways to do it just to be able to inform the patient of what they're getting themselves into.